I should finish up my Mother's Day sermon today. Maybe not, but who knows? We've been talking about JL, and there's a lot to learn there. And Lord teaches us from all the scriptures, all the Bible. It was Reagan or somebody was talking yesterday about somebody said, you know, about the New Testament was the good part or the good one. But they're all good parts. They're all good ones. And the Lord's got something there to teach us from all of it. And I'm thankful for the complete revelation in the New Testament and our Lord's coming. But he had people in the Old Testament who, well, they weren't part of that new institution, the church that the Lord founded during his earthly ministry, but they're his family, his people. They were in him. I could preach that instead of preaching this, preach Brother Howell's talking about. You know, were you there? Yes. We were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. We were in him. Physical, I don't know how to. Yeah, maybe it, we were physically in Adam when he sinned, and we were certainly spiritually in our Lord, and we were in him in a very real sense. He died for us. And if you weren't in him, you have no benefit from that atonement. I can't tell you who those people are that are manifested in this life. And I think, you know, by our actions we testify to ourselves and others. And JL testified to some of those things, I think, in her action. And we, as we've been looking here and talking about Judges and the book of Judges and everything that happens in the book, some of the things are really troubling in there, and some of them are just downright bad. But they're there for a reason and purpose to teach and admonish us. But when it comes to JL, I think it's largely a positive example that's set before us, and some folks have trouble with that, but I think she was obviously one of the Lord's people, and some can even take her name, Jael, Jehovah, Sky, Jehovah is my God. And my mind's running around today. Maybe it's because I stayed up too late, worked too hard yesterday. You know, it's Jael, it's Jehovah. You better beware, and we can go into this some other time. Beware these folks that want to start talking about Yahweh and Yeshua, and they, you know, exclusively even some of them. Some folks that know a whole lot better than them, though they want to ignore them, like Brother John Gill, who was a great scholar. They all understood those things. My God is Jehovah. Some maintain that Yahweh is some desert pagan thing. I don't know. And I understand. Listen, I'm not a complete idiot. I understand the Hebrew consonants and the vowel points and so forth. It's Jehovah. They'll be to me till the end anyway. Jael. And Israel went through its cycles. They walked with God. They served the Lord. Things got good, and they fell into idolatry. And they were enslaved. They reaped the results of those things. And they then would cry out to the Lord for salvation, for redemption. And God would raise up a judge, generally a man, but Deborah, in this case, in his providence and for his purpose. And then Israel is delivered. Quite often by that judge, but in this case, by a woman. Jael. And then they go back to serving the Lord again for a while. I think in this case it was something like about, well, before the bad stuff came in anyway, it was about another 40 years, but I'm sure they started trailing off sooner than that. Judges 4, and the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord when Ehud was dead. The Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan. He reigned in Hazor, the captain of whose host Sisera, which dwelt in Harosheth of the Gentiles. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, for he had 900 chariots of iron, and 20 years he mightily oppressed the children of Israel. and Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, she judged Israel at the time. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. And she sent and called Barak, and said unto him, Hath not the Lord God of Israel commanded, saying, Go and draw toward Mount Tabor, and take with thee 10,000 men, and I will draw unto thee. And the captain of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitudes, and I will deliver him into thine hand. And Barak said unto her, If thou go with me, I'll go. But if thou wilt not go with me, then I will not go. And she said, I will surely go with thee. Notwithstanding, the journey that thou takest shall not be for thine honor. For the Lord shall sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. And Deborah rose and went with Barak to Kadesh. And Barak went up with 10,000 men at his feet. And Deborah went up with him. And Sisera gathered together all his chariots. And Deborah said unto Barak, Up, for this is the day which the Lord hath delivered Sisera into thine hand. Is not the Lord gone out before thee? And the Lord discomforted Sisera and all his chariots and all his hosts with the edge of the sword before Barak, and there was not a man left. Howbeit, Sisera fled away on his feet to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite. For there was peace between Jabin, the king of Hazor, and the house of Heber, the Kenite. And Jael went out to meet Sisera and said unto him, Turn in, my lord, turn in to me, fear not. For when he had turned into her, into the tent, she covered him with a mantle. And he said unto her, Give me, I pray thee, a little water to drink, for I'm thirsty. And she opened a bottle of milk and gave him drink and covered him. And again, he said unto her, Stand in the door of the tent, and it shall be when any man doth come and inquire of thee and say, Is there any man here? That thou shalt say, No. Then Jael, Heber's wife, took a nail of the tent and took a hammer in her hand, and went softly into him, and smote the nail into his temples, and fastened it to the ground, for he was fast asleep and weary. So he died. And behold, as Barak pursued Sisera, Jael came out to meet him, and said unto him, Come, I will show thee a man whom thou seekest. And when he had come into her tent, behold, Sisera lay dead, and the nail was in his temples. And the children of the Kenite, Moses' father-in-law, well, I had notes there back to chapter 1, but the Kenites were the brethren of the Israelites, were related by marriage, and that they had taken up residence with the Israelites back in chapter 1. And the children of the Kenite, Moses' father-in-law, went up out of the city of palm trees with the children of Judah into the wilderness of Judah, which layeth to the south of Arad, and they went and dwelt among the people. So the Kenites had determined to dwell with Israel. And there was that kinship, that relationship, continuing back in chapter 4, verse 23. So God subdued on that day Jabin, the king of Canaan, before the children of Israel. God's providence. Verse 24, and the hand of the children of Israel prospered and prevailed against Jabin, the king of Canaan, until they had destroyed Jabin, the king of Canaan. So Sisera met his fate, and the children of Israel completely overthrew Jabin and the Canaanites. And eventually, the whole reign of Jabin was destroyed. Israel came into a time of peace, which they enjoyed for some 40 years. And chapter 5, after this episode's been related, and we spent a couple weeks looking at that. Maybe 3 weeks already. I don't know. But chapter 5 of Judges contains, in part of it at least, part of what is considered to be some of the earliest poetry in the scriptures. And we're not going to look at in detail at all of chapter 5 and what's contained in there, but we will look at the verses that focus on what's related in the story of Jael that we've been studying. It provides additional details. It provides additional guidance and understanding subsequent to the death of Sisera. And in these verses in chapter 5, maybe at some point you'll want to go back and read them all, but we see that it's a song of Deborah and a song of Barak. Then sang Deborah and Barak, and then down to verse 2, "Praise ye the Lord for the avenging of Israel when the people willingly offered themselves." Israel willingly offered themselves. Brother Gill makes some pertinent comments. He said that they offered themselves to go and fight for Israel against her enemies. They were not forced to do it. They willingly offered themselves. And I could go off on another tangent, but, you know, the draft is slavery. Just like taxation is armed robbery. Doesn't mean you shouldn't serve your country or you shouldn't want to have big argument about roads, right? Whatever. But that you shouldn't want to have those things, but they'll be provided by the free enterprise system if you leave things alone. I was just thinking what the mess this country's in. And what our economy's coming to, and what our food supply's coming to, and what gas and oil and everything else. In every case, it's because of government involvement and government meddling. And when we're up there, you know, out there eating dirt, like some of our ancestors may have done, you can thank Brian Large, the federal government. And got some folks mad at me yesterday because they didn't worship the federal government. But anyway, Brother Gibb points out that they weren't forced to do it. They couldn't have been forced to do it. They willingly offered themselves. It was all owing to the influence of divine providence, as Brother Gill said, on their hearts, moving and drawing them to this service. And therefore, praise was due to the Lord on this account, who works in the hearts of men both to will and to do, as in things spiritual and religious, so in things natural and civil. You know, I always try to make the point, there's no great wall, divide between the spiritual and the secular. You know, we're Christians, we're God's people. Everything's spiritual. You know, it's not like, well, this is what I do on Sunday and this is what I do. No! It's all the time. And it's everywhere. And God influenced them. He made them willing. He worked in the lives and hearts of these people. He worked in the heart of a woman like Jael. It's all of the Lord. It's His doing. Salvation and everything else. The material realm, the physical realm. Sometimes we think that's more real than the spiritual realm. No, the spiritual realm is the one that's more real. We just don't have the perceptors. But it's the work of God. When the people willingly offered themselves. Down in verse 3, they continue that song. "I will sing unto the Lord. I will sing praise to the Lord God of Israel. They acknowledged, they understood the source of their victory. It wasn't Barak. It wasn't Deborah. It wasn't these people that the Lord had called up. It wasn't Jael. It was God. I will sing unto the Lord. I will sing praise to the Lord God of Israel. Jehovah, and again, we've talked about that. If you look in your King James Bible, in verse 3 there, it says, I will sing unto the Lord, L-O-R-D in all capitals. Whenever you see that in your King James Bible, it means the Hebrew word Jehovah is what is written there. You won't see that in most of the modern perversions. They don't give you that information. I guess they don't think it's important. But God's name, I think, is important. I will sing unto the Lord. I will sing praise unto the Lord God of Israel. It's Jehovah who deserves praise for the deliverance of His chosen people. The Lord chose a physical people. He chose a spiritual people. He chose a bride from amongst that spiritual people. I sang about that today. Some folks don't like that. Some folks don't like God's got a physical people here. No, I got to be that. So we're going to replace that. We replace them. God's done with them. Well, I don't find that in the Scriptures. When it tells me Christ is going to rule and reign from the throne in Jerusalem, I believe that. I'm sorry, it doesn't fit me in with a lot of the modern speculation and the way things have gone. It was all due to Jehovah. It was in His influence upon the people. It was He who chose a people. And it was God who delivered His chosen people. And regardless of the means, it was accomplished by Jehovah. So we really worked hard. Yeah, we did it. But it's God that did it. And it was God that put it in our hearts to offer ourselves up. His influence was upon the people of Israel. His influence was upon Jael. Skipping down to verse 11, which gets more into the battle and getting close to talking about Jael. They that are delivered from the noise of archers and the places of drawing water, there shall they rehearse the righteous acts of the Lord. I don't know. I've never been under assault by archers. But, you know, I've seen some of those things in the movies. It's pretty scary to hear. You know? And they're delivered from the noise of the archer and the places of drawing water. There shall they rehearse the righteous acts of the Lord. A few weeks ago, we marked Confederate Memorial Day. We ought to rehearse the righteous acts of the Lord. And I've often told the story of, you know, Joshua when after he's crossed the Jordan, and in the midst of it, God says, gather stones and make a monument in the Jordan and make a monument on the other side, so that someday your kids are going to say, what does that mean? What do those stones mean? Then you'll tell them the story. There shall they rehearse. Remember, mark, point out, commemorate the righteous acts of the Lord. Understand again, this is God's doing. Not my doing, not your doing, not JL's doing. Even the righteous acts toward the inhabitants of His villages in Israel. Then shall the people of the Lord, and in all these places again it's Jehovah, then shall the people of Jehovah go down to the gates. Our ancestors understood these things. There's very little of it, understanding of these sort of things in our day and age. Stonewall said, God blessed our arms with victory at McDowell yesterday. God blessed our arms with victory. It's time I'll have to dig out that old movie. What's the one top? Red Runs the River. And it's got the narrative, the story of Richard Ewell, who was a vile, profane general, and the Lord saved him. But early on, as he was serving with Stonewall, he said, that man's crazy. He said, God doesn't have anything to do with this. Well, Richard Ewell came to understand God did have something to do with that. God blessed our arms with victory at McDowell yesterday, Stonewall said. General Lee reported, the commanding general takes great pleasure in announcing to the army the series of successes which, by the blessing of God, have recently been achieved to our arms. You understand, this wasn't just rhetoric to these men. They understood that. They believed that. Which the blessings of God have recently achieved by our arms. The heroic valor of this army, under the blessing of Almighty God, has thus far checked the progress of the principal army of the enemy towards Richmond and inflicted upon it heavy losses. By the assistance of a just and merciful God, the enemy shall be driven back and peace secured to our country. And I could multiply those cases time and time again. Our ancestors understood these things. It was the arm of God. It wasn't their arm. It wasn't their strength. It wasn't their power. It was God. We need to sometimes just sit back and slow down and stop and think. Because a lot of times we don't. We just... It's going to be hard, but you know, God's in control. You think about, it just comes to mind, I don't have it before me, but you remember George Washington when he proclaimed the first Thanksgiving Day for the new nation, and he gave all the credit to God for the victories and for what he had brought forth and for what was here. They understood providence. They spoke of providence. It's God's providence. It's not an accident. Sometimes you think, well, I'm this way or this way because, you know, accidents of DNA or... No, it's God's providence. And they understood that. Israel understood that. Our forebears understood that. There's little understanding of that today. The song continues in verse 19. The kings came and fought. Then fought the kings of Canaan and Tanakh by the waters of Megiddo. They took no gain of money. The enemies of Israel didn't prevail. They didn't profit. God protected. God prevented. They made no gain. They made no spoils, though they intended it. Later on, we'll see as we continue on. That was what was in their minds. That was in their hearts. To make gain, to make spoil. Verse 20. They fought from heaven. The stars in their courses fought against Sisera. God turned the very elements against this mighty Canaanite army. They had all these iron chariots. But when the rains come, they're not worth much. The mud, we saw somebody stuck in sugar sand yesterday. You know, you can have some big old SUV, but you know, if you're stuck, get stuck enough in the sugar sand, you get it down low enough to your axles and you ain't going nowhere. The elements were turned against the enemy and against the allies of the enemy. And I didn't write down verse 21, 22, but they're germane. Again, what happened at this battle, verse 21. The river of Kishon swept them away. That ancient river, the river Kishon. Oh, my soul, thou hast trodden down strength. You know, you can have the Philistine, whole Philistine army behind you. God opens up. God closes up upon the Philistines. And here again, God used the elements. They're His. Then were the horse hoofs broken by means of the prancing of their mighty ones. God brought the reins. God brought the elements. Swept away the enemies of His people. Verse 23, a verse I referred to earlier of chapter 5. Curse ye Meroz, said the angel of the Lord. Curse ye bitterly the inhabitants thereof, because they came not to the help of the Lord, to the help of the Lord against the mighty. If you remember, I noted this Meroz. We don't know exactly where that is or who that is, because he's gone. He ain't no more. God says, curse Meroz, and it was cursed. It's evident from here they were in a position to aid Israel. And it was evident that Israel was acting on the behalf of the Lord. They could have aided Israel, but they did not. Again, Jael, who was not an integral part of Israel, but understood and saw, recognized God's people in the hand of God, in the work of God. Evidently, Meroz was utterly and completely destroyed and ceased to exist. Those who refused to assist in the fight against Jabin and Sisera were cursed of the Lord. Listen, God doesn't need our assistance. He doesn't need our help. But He calls upon us. He works in our hearts, as we were told from Israel. And when people recognized the hand and the work of the Lord, they refused to join hands on the side of right. And we're not talking about the crazy kind of agreements and alliances that some country makes to advance themselves, end up being like Jabin. But we ought to be willing to stand with God, with His people, to stand with the right. They refused to enter into the battle with Israel. They refused to join hands with the side of the right. A lot of people that wanted to think, I'll just wait this one out. You know, I'll just wait this one out. I'll just kind of lay low. And see what transpires. And we will answer for all of our sins. We will answer for our sins of omission and our sins of commission. The things we didn't do and the things we did. And in contrast to Meroz, we see in verse 24, blessed above women shall Jael, the wife of Heber, the Kenite, be. Blessed shall she be above women in the tent. In conjunction with and in contrast to Meroz. And this so much like the announcement to Mary, the mother of our Lord, sometimes called the Annunciation. Luke 1, verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee, named Nazareth, to a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. A little bit different missions, but women that were blessed of the Lord, they submitted to him. They carried out his will. Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Jesus. Because he shall save his people from their sins. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. A few verses down there in Luke 1. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped, John the Baptist, in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women. She was filled with the Holy Ghost and spake. And the context here again indicates that the words of Deborah were the words of God, were the words of the angel of the Lord. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord shall come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And again, this, in the context, again, his name would be Jesus. And Matthew 1, verse familiar with us, Matthew 1, verse 19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. I could preach my sermon on marriage and all that, too. But he's already called her husband. See, there were the stages. There was the betrothal, and then there is the actual ceremony where one becomes husband and wife, and up until that happens, one can put them away privily. That was the only time divorce was allowed. It was before they had actually taken their vows before God, before they had ever entered into the covenant. They were still called husband and wife. And Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. And while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. Okay, so he's called her husband, their betrothed. The angel says, don't be afraid to take her unto thee. So that's something else. But what that something else is, as we go on to understand and read here, it is not what we would call the consummation of the marriage. So Joseph is her husband. Don't fear to take her unto thee, to enter into that covenant with God that's not to be broken. Fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. We see he did that, but then we're told he knew her not until after she had brought forth her firstborn. The Lord had half-brothers and sisters. You know, Mary and Joseph would have violated the commands of God. Mary would have been... No, she had children by Joseph after the Lord. Scriptures talk of his brothers and sisters. I know some folks got all kind of ways to try to explain it away, but it's pretty evident. Okay, that was all for free. Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Not try hard as he can to save everybody, but not be able to because they won't let him know. You'll call his name Jesus because he shall save his people from their sins. In the light of these things, it's difficult to accuse JL of sin or wrongdoing in the light of these words. She would be blessed among women, blessed among the women of the tent. Deborah sings these things from the angel of the Lord, we're told. Goes on in that song, verse 25. He asked water, and she gave him milk. He brought forth butter, or she brought forth butter in a lordly dish. She put her hand to the nail, and her right hand to the workman's hammer. And with the hammer, she smote Sisera. She smote off his head when she had pierced and stricken through his temples. Following the example of David, after she'd smote the enemy, she took probably his own sword and took off his head as well. At her feet he bowed, he fell, he lay down. At her feet he bowed, he fell. Where he bowed, there he fell down dead. Verse 28. I've got some lessons to learn from this too, so maybe we'll finish them up next week, huh? That's the way it goes. We see a little bit more added about the character of Sisera and the Canaanite armies. Verse 28 of Judges 5 says, the mother of Sisera looked out a window and cried through the lattice, why is his chariot so long in coming? Why tarry the wheels of his chariot? Why isn't Sisera come home yet? Her wise ladies answered her, yea, she returned answer to herself. She thought about it a while and said, have they not sped? Have they not divided the prey to every man a damsel or two? You know, like what? Rape and pillage? To Sisera, a prey of divers color. A prey of divers color of needlework. Of divers color of needlework on both sides. Meat for the necks of them that take the spoil. I mean, Caesar's own mother was like, oh, well, he's delayed because there's so much rape and pillage to be doing. He's busy. He got important stuff to do. And besides that, he's going to bring me some of it back home. Again, showing the evil inclination of Sisera, known by his own mother. And as this started out as a Mother's Day sermon, I think he may have learned some of that things at her feet. Her character, her values, her wickedness. Verse 31 says, so let all thine enemies perish, O Lord. But let them that love him be as the sun which goeth forth in his might. And the land had rest 40 years. So let all thine enemies perish, O Lord, O Jehovah. I remind you of another phrase, like one in Latin. Except for Tyrannus. So let all the enemies of thine enemies perish, O Lord. The Lord did it at the hand of a woman. Or it might do it at the hand of an actor. I don't know. The Lord has His ways and means. They're not always righteous hands that do it. But in the case of Jael, they obviously were. In my opinion, it would be in the hands of Booth, they were as well. Semper tyrannis. Thus always the tyrants. So let all thine enemies perish. Booth was used of the Lord to terminate Lincoln with extreme prejudice, as they say. And J.L. was used of the Lord to terminate Cesera with extreme prejudice. And again, I'm not saying we all should be going running wild and taking derringers and spikes, but the time may come. And to be cognizant of the Lord and to know that He's going to raise up His people. He's going to put it in their hearts. He's going to put it in their will. He did that to Israel, and we can trust Him. And then I've got five lessons that I thought we could learn from this. We've already hit on them, but we'll probably deal with that next week. And I really will finish up this summer, and we'll go on to something new. God be praised, and may we be the people He would have us to be, and may we trust in our Savior. And I shall call His name Jesus. He shall save His people from their sins. We were in Him. We're His people. He knew His people before the foundation of the world, and He died for them, and He will draw them all to Himself. And we're thankful for that. That's the sort of God we serve. We'll take our hymnals, and we'll sing a closing hymn together. Number 144, Must Jesus Bear the Cross Alone? That cross of Calvary, He certainly did. But we're to bear a cross in this life. We're to pick up and follow Him. And when you pick up a cross, that means physically, you ain't coming home. And that's what God's people are to be willing to do. To pick up a cross and follow Him. Doesn't mean hanging something around your neck. You pick up that cross, you're following Him, even unto death. Number 144, Must Jesus Bear the Cross Alone? Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for each one that's here. Lord, we thank You for the fellowship of the saints. We thank You for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Saved His people from their sins. Lord, we thank You for the privilege to serve Thee. We know that You don't require our assistance or our aid. And yet, Lord, You put upon the hearts of Your people to act and do as they ought. Lord, help us to ever give the proper praise and glory and honor unto Thee, as did Deborah and Barak, as did our forebears. Father, thank You for Your eternal love. Thank You for our Savior. Thank You for one another. Lord, we pray You be with our brother Reagan as he travels this coming weekend, and keep him safe. Return him safely. Thank You, Lord, for the good day You gave us yesterday. We pray You might continue to use those things to Your glory. Lord, we know we deserve honor for nothing. And yet, Lord, You deign to use us weak and sinful vessels. Father, thank You for our Savior. Thank You for His completed atonement, the work of the Spirit that gave us life, repentance, and faith, and drew us unto Him. Lord, may we walk in Your ways this week. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.